consider yourself a leader. God has chosen in his goodness to call you to a position of responsibility. Perhaps that's in business or industry, in healthcare or academia. Perhaps it's simply within the home. For you guys, if you recognize that this topic speaks to you personally, please listen carefully to God's word, that it would shape you and your leadership. But some of us wouldn't consider ourselves a leader. And look, I want to tell you that the book of Proverbs speaks to you this morning, even on this topic. The chances are, even if you don't recognize it immediately, you are in a position of influence over others. Somebody or some group of people look up to you and learn from you. I guess at its most simple level, all of us who are adults in the church influence the kids that God has blessed us with at Rock. They will all look up to us to some degree to see what it looks like to live as an adult Christian. We all need to heed the lessons of leadership then, I think. Perhaps more importantly, though, we're called, all of us, whatever position God has called us to pray for our leaders, particularly in the government, that we would be allowed freedom as Christians to worship, but no reason we couldn't pray for our leaders at work or at home or in the church. Proverbs speaks a great deal to all of us on this topic of leadership. If you've had a chance to read through the book of Proverbs, and I'd really encourage you to, it's such a nourishing and enjoyable read. You'll see there's no messing around defining what leadership is. I'm simply going to presume a leader is somebody that, a person that others follow, be that a formal or informal role. Chiefly, the leaders are described in the book of Proverbs as kings and rulers. I guess most of them would have inherited their position, but not all. Some would have sought out their position. Some would even have fought for their kingdom to win it from someone else. Quite how the leader came to be a leader isn't a concern in the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs have a different agenda for us. And here's the first key thing. Proverbs is all about the qualities of leadership. Or more precisely, the qualities of the leader. It's worth noting that in the New Testament church, just by way of example, the Apostle Paul doesn't condemn people who have an ambition or an aspiration to lead others in the church or anywhere else. 1 Timothy 3. Here's a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Desiring leadership is not a sin. I presume that's true whether that be in business, education, politics, or the church. As long as we understand that leadership is a means of worship of God and of service to others. Leadership is a great responsibility before God. And the book of Proverbs puts leaders' character and their words and their actions under an especially bright spotlight, since they influence so many other people. Perhaps the point is this, drawing from Jesus himself, a little like the parable of the talents or the parable of the wise manager. The more responsibility it has pleased God to give us in this world, the more influence we have over other people, the more that God expects of us, having granted us that position. Here's how Jesus puts it: from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So what is asked of leaders in the Bible? Well, from the book of Proverbs, I would summarize it as simply a call to lead well. A position of leadership in business isn't simply a good salary to earn while we wait out for retirement. A position of leadership in the church isn't to be abused for the leader's own good. The expectation of the book of Proverbs is that believers who lead will seek to do so well and improve as leaders as an expression of their love of God and their love of man. But even that, seeking improvement to develop in leadership, that's not exclusive to the Christian faith or exclusive to the Bible. What is distinct, what is uniquely Christian, is what that development entails, how we get better as leaders. And as we might expect with the book of Proverbs, if you know it at all, that development is always going to begin with seeking wisdom. Seek wisdom. Here's that slightly longer quote from chapter 2 of Proverbs, if you've got that before you. Chapter 2 and verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Wisdom. All of us, but particularly leaders, need the wisdom that comes from the mouth of God, verse 6. That is a wisdom which is recorded and preserved by the Holy Spirit in the church in his word. I take it then, just from the beginning of that short passage, that a good leader will always prioritize gaining a deep understanding of the Bible. That understanding will underpin all a good leader thinks and does. That divine wisdom will help him. What we see in those verses, verse 7, it will help him or her bring success in leadership. Verses 7 and 8, gain confidence in God. Verse 9, it will help that individual improve decision-making in ethical situations. Verse 10, over time it will nurture an enjoyment of responsibility before God. Now look, we believe in common grace. That is to say, by the grace of God, even people who aren't Christians can do great good. And we believe that people who aren't Christians, unbelievers, can be good leaders. Every 4 years we elect non-Christians to Parliament, and we do so with a clear conscience. By far the majority of captains of industry are unbelievers. But the greatest leaders, the wisest leaders, I perhaps should say, the Bible tells us, should be those who first bow the knee to King Jesus and leaders he instructs in the wisdom he gives in his word. I suggest then that the role models we choose in leadership are really critical. And seeking out believers who lead faithfully in accordance with the Bible is key. It's not the size of their following or any kind of financial measure of their success. That's not so important as the measure of their leadership against the standard of God's word. Here's a short little proverb. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? That should flow from the heart through the lips of a great, wise leader. So Christian leaders are to seek wisdom. But where does that divine wisdom recorded in the scriptures lead? Well, it leads to building character. Building character. Much of what the book of Proverbs speaks to leaders about is their character. That's the focus of the wisdom given. That is to say, the Bible and the book of Proverbs in particular is not about what leaders do in the first instance. It's about who leaders are. I think that's very significant. This is not a how-to manual, it's a who-you-should-be manual. Our words and our actions, we're taught throughout the scriptures, are an overflow of our true inner heart, our true inner self. And so the book of Proverbs wants us to shape what we are on the inside first, so that good leadership practice will naturally flow from a good heart. So the book of Proverbs then goes to our deepest motives. We're not to seek influence or power or finance primarily, but leaders are to seek God. That's not just true of leadership in the church, but business or political life too. Good leadership begins with fearing God and living and leading for him in righteousness. Here's the next proverb, 16 verse 12. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. It's an example of a good leader. That Godward focus is central to good leadership. It leads to personal integrity. It keeps us, the book of Proverbs says, from many ills. We'll start with personal integrity. Here are some examples from the book of Proverbs. We're to be, here's the first one, God-seeking, not man-pleasing. God-seeking, not man-pleasing. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I suspect you've never been to a management seminar where they've used that phrase, fear of man. I guess perhaps better, we might use the term popularity, seeking popularity. Now, of course, there's no reason for Christian leaders to pursue unpopularity. That would be nonsense. But being popular, that old management book, do you remember, Winning Friends and Influencing People, that's not the first responsibility of a leader. It's not the first responsibility for Christians. In any and every field, we are called first to please God, not to answer the call of the majority, particularly when that's in conflict with pleasing God. In fact, the book of Proverbs would warn us that pursuing popularity itself is always doomed to failure. It's a snare into which leaders fall. It makes leaders look backwards to see how many people are following, not forwards to see where they're leading people. Which brings us to the second of these aspects of personal integrity. Hard working and humble. And of all the Proverbs I looked at for the sermon this morning, this is my favourite. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Do you see the two aspects set side by side? We're to work hard in leadership, to plan and prepare and work. We're to make ready the horse. But there is humility too required in a leadership, because we know that we're not sovereign. We can't determine all things. And we know that we're not the saviour of those who follow us. Those places of sovereignty and of saviour, that belongs to God himself, not us. Victory, if that's the outcome, or perhaps today we would use the word success in leadership, is his doing alone. We're to be hardworking and humble. Next, we're to be approachable and gracious. Proverbs 25, verse 15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. I take it then that good leaders are accessible. It ought to be possible for followers to approach them, to talk with them, to disagree with them, to offer alternative ideas to them. Good leaders, it would seem, can set their ego aside and go with the best idea rather than their own idea where appropriate. Of course, listening to ideas doesn't simply mean agreeing with them. Particularly in church, where there's an objective measure, the word and the wisdom of God in the scriptures. But listening in leadership is important. Which brings us to attentive and fair. Two proverbs here. If a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will be established forever. And secondly, do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. Lord Acton, an old British politician, coined that famous phrase, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But the book of Proverbs would say that Christian leaders are to be distinct and different from that. We're to be free from corruptive influences. We're not to be giddy with power. A good Christian leader will be fair in their dealings with those they have responsibility over, and they will happily commend and promote capable followers. Which brings us finally then to generous and kind. Generous and kind. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Generosity and kindness are highly commended throughout the book of Proverbs, not just as something for leaders, but for all people. I guess it stands out for leaders because it's not immediately a trait we think of that characterizes successful leaders. And yet Proverbs would have us understand that it is. Christian leaders have been shown generosity and kindness by God in Christ. And so in turn, we're to show generosity and kindness to those around us, particularly those whose situation is not as favourable as our own, those that we have responsibility over. Compassionate leave is needed, concern not just for the individual but for their close family members, a concern for people over projects. I wrote originally people over profits, but of course Keith and Ruth Prophet skew that phrase in rock slightly. The prophets are people for us, but you know what I mean. kindness in leadership is not a weakness before God, but it's a beautiful strength. In all of this, leaders, good Christian leaders, often without realizing, will serve as an example for others to follow. And as such, prove to be good leaders, whatever the field they work in. That's particularly important, the Bible tells us, in church life, where leaders are explicitly told that they must be an example. You know that verse, don't you, from 1 Timothy 4, as Paul writes to that young church leader, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Well, so much more could be said. That's not an exhaustive list at all. Please do look through the book of Proverbs. We don't have time this morning to look at more positive attributes of godly leadership. But the other thing we don't have time to go into a great deal of detail of is the warnings for leaders that the book of Proverbs is filled with. There are lots of traps for leaders, the book of Proverbs says. Briefly, I think the book of Proverbs divides those into three categories. There's problems regarding being motivated by greed. There are, secondly, dangers of substance abuse. It's interesting that that plays such a rich vein in the book of Proverbs. Normally, wine is the thing in question. Kings aren't to favour too much wine. And thirdly, there's the danger of sexual immorality. Three key areas in which leaders can fail. That's helpful to hear, but for another sermon to go into more detail on. Leaders can fail to love God and instead love themselves and build their own wealth. They can fail to trust God and instead of seeking comfort in Him, find comfort in drugs or alcohol to sustain them. And they can fail to follow God in His instructions on marriage and sexuality, and they can seek temporary gratification and relief through illicit sexual encounters. But all of that's for another time. For now, it's good to remind ourselves of what it is that makes a good leader. It begins with seeking wisdom from the Word of God. The good leaders are those who seek wisdom. And as they seek wisdom from the Word of God, they realize that the most important work they can do starts on the inside. They will be concerned by building their inner character, knowing that their outer conduct will always be an overflow of what's in here in the first place. And we've seen what that inner character is described like in all those various facets. What a list. And who could possibly say that they are all that they should be as a leader? I would hope not one of us. Which brings us, as we close, to perhaps the most important thing. That is, it brings us to Jesus Christ, the perfect leader. And it's so important that we end here. This isn't a management seminar, and we're not interested in popular trends in leadership or even popular morality. What shapes us as followers and leaders is our faith in Jesus Christ. No matter how long we've been a Christian, God's work in us isn't yet complete. There's divine progress still to be made as we seek wisdom and build a godly character. So whether it's in leadership or in any other area of life, it's to Jesus that we must look. That's what makes our leadership distinct. That's what makes our lives distinctly and uniquely Christian. We're not Pharisees pursuing empty morality. We're Christians pursuing Christ-likeness. And Jesus Christ is the leader we all need. He's perfect in forgiveness, and we all need forgiveness. We all fall short of His calling. We all still rebel against His teaching. At times, we all still need His forgiveness. He's perfect in forgiveness, and He is perfect in provision. He promises that He won't let us experience a situation that's beyond us, that He will give us the strength we need. Whether our leadership is in the home or the church or in business or in healthcare or politics or academia, wherever our leadership is, God has been pleased to give us that position. But He says we cannot do it without coming to Jesus for the strength we need each day to serve Him. Every Christian leader, then, I take it, will pray deeply and sincerely each morning for forgiveness for mistakes made and for strength for the responsibilities for the day ahead. But that's not all Jesus provides. Finally, Jesus is perfect in example. Perfect in forgiveness, perfect in provision, perfect in example. He is the great shepherd who models perfect leadership. Which means, do you see, we're back where we began. We are those who follow Jesus Christ and so are devoted to his teaching in the Word of God. There is no better leadership seminar than Jesus Christ and his Word. For you as a Christian leader, time spent prayerfully poring over the Scriptures can never be in vain. You want to be a good leader before God? Well, there aren't many things better you can do than to start each day opening the Word of God and getting on your knees in prayer to your God. Do you see, to lead well, we always need Christ, our perfect leader. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, it has pleased you to give us various forms of responsibility in the workplace, in the church, at home. And so we come to you and pray that you would both forgive us for our weaknesses and failings in that you would give us strength to uphold and to manage the responsibilities and the people that you've entrusted to our care well, for their sake and to bring glory to you. And we pray too that at each step of the way we would look to the Lord Jesus Christ and your word, that we would be those who model our leadership, our character and our actions around all that you teach. Give us much grace that we might lead well for the glory of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.